Today's shir is Masechta Krisus, Daf Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Vav on the base, 8 lines from the bottom, Tanya Idach. Says the Gemara, Tanya Idach, Hasok b'shem and ha-mishchel lebehem of the kelim loy v'kachovim. If somebody uses the shem and ha-mishchel on behem on kelim loy v'kachovim or mason, he's potter. On melachim or kahanim, but if he uses it on melachim and kahanim, remei mechayiv, or who may holds that he's chayiv, Rabbi Yehuda Poiter, Rabbi Yehuda says that he's potter. And there's a very fundamental machlokes in understanding this Gemara. Because as we're going to learn in the Shia now, there are clearly two different acts. There's an act called Sicha, and there's an act called Mesina. And as we will see in the Gemara, there are differences in halacha between those two acts. The question is, when Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda speak here about this concept, what are they speaking about? Sicha or Mesina? Many explain that they are speaking both about Sicha and Mesina as well. Others say that even though the Gemara is about to say the Kama Yosuch, that was speaking about Sicha, everybody agrees that the shear of Sicha is a kol shehu, and therefore there cannot be any machlokes between Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda. What will be the shear of Sicha? They're speaking about what will be the shear of Mesina. The Kama Yosuch Yechayiv, how much should be put on and be chayiv? Ramey or Mekoshu, Yechayiv even for Mesina of a Koshu, Rabbi Yehuda or Mekazayas, and Mesina requires a Kazayas. But as I said, many Mefarshim say that, even though the Gemara uses the word Sicha, it's speaking about Mesina, because Sicha, everybody will agree, will be with a kol shehu. Ask the Gemara, the Gemara is learning in the Havamina that this Braisa is one long continuation. And therefore the question is, if the Braisa is one long continuation, first Rabbi Huda said that if you put on Melachim and on Kahanim, the Shemana Mishka, you put them. And now he says the Shir of a Kazayas. So ask the Gemara, hasn't Rabbi Yehuda just said that he's potter? How did the Gemara turn around afterwards and say that the shear is a kazayis according to Rabbi Yehuda? Answers the Gemara, ki potter Rabbi Yehuda. When Rabbi Yehuda said it was potter, he meant malachim v'kahanim. We're speaking about malachim v'kahanim. By the Yehedyot, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that there is a chiv. Everybody will agree. The Torah explicitly tells us that there's a chiv to put if you put Shemana Mishka on a hedyot. And now, the machlokes in the Mishnah was, how much do you have to put on to be chayiv? Ramey said a kol shehu, Rabbi Yehuda said a kezayis. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda asked the Gemara, Ramey Rabbi Yehuda b'may pligi, what is the basis of the machlokes of Ramey Rabbi Yehuda? Answers the Gemara, on Rabbi Yehuda b'ha pligi. The basis is as follows. Ramey is sover, absar adam lo yisach ksiv. The Torah speaks about Sicha. The Torah says, "Absar Adam lo yisach." The Ksiv, and there's another pasuk, "Vashiyita mimenu azor." That also, the Torah says that if somebody does something like that, he's chayiv karis. So, mas Sicha says Rameya is kol shehu. Afnasina has the same shear of kol shehu. Rabbi Yehuda Sover, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, however, is yapin nesina da azor. As we'll see, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Sicha is with a kol shehu. Rabbi Yehuda says that just because Sicha is with a kol shehu doesn't mean that Nesina is with a kol shehu. Because Rabbi Yehuda says that just like in other areas of halacha, where man Nesina da Alma, whenever the Torah uses the word Nosan, the Pasuk speaks about Nesina if somebody eats Truma B'Shogig, and there it's Kazayas. So just like there, the shear is a kazayis. Af the sina dalzor, the nesina of the shemana mishka, the shear is a kazayis. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a distinction between sicha and nesina. Sicha, he'll agree, is a kol shehu. It's nesina where he disputes, and he holds that a nesina is a kazayis, like it is throughout halacha. There is, the Mefarshim discuss what is the difference between Sicha and Nesina. So I explain that the Aruch Maner gives this explanation that Sicha is where you pour the oil onto your hand, or to another vessel, and from that vessel you pour it onto the kohen, whereas nesina is where you put it, where you put the oil directly onto the kohen. Another nafkamina is that sicha is where you take the oil and you actually rub it in to the body or to the head of the kohen or whoever you're anointing, whereas nesina you just leave it there and doesn't get rubbed in into the hair. There's another pshat that the difference between sicha and nesina is that sicha is when you put it strictly only on the head of the kohen, and nesina means when you put it on the entire body. Says the Gemara, Avol, as we've been learning, when it comes that the Torah says that a kohen, gadol, or a melech, as we've been learning in our shiurim, require meshicha with the shemen hamishcha, everybody says the rehaka kolshu to fulfill that obligation of sicha, even just putting on a kolshu on the melech or on the kohen gadol is adequate. Now the Gemara, at the beginning of our shiur, also quoted another machloikis of Rabbi Huda and Rabbanan. And that was Shaila, if you put Shemen HaMishcha on a melech or a kohen, will you be chayiv? It was the opinion of Rameya to chayiv, Rabbi Huda holds you potter. Ask the Gemara, what is the basis of that machloikis? But my plea, Rameya, Rabbi Huda, gab melochim the kohanim, answers the Gemara, Rameya savashit men al zorksiv. The Torah speaks about putting it on the Isser of putting the Shemen HaMishcha on Azor, and says Rameya, the Melech and the Kohen, once they are have been properly anointed, they're no different than everyone else. Hashtun Zorin Ninhu, they are Zorin and have this halacha. Rabbi Huda's opinion, however, is Be'inan Ad Ikazam et Chilasav at Tzayfai. Only such an individual who is always a Zor has this halacha. The Melech and Kohanim Mikar Lav Zorin Ninhu. Yes, now they obviously do not have an obligation to have sicha, but they originally did have such an obligation, and since they had such an obligation, they're no longer considered zara. Interesting question that I saw at the Mefarshim debate. We learned in our previous shiurim that a melech ben melech doesn't require anointing because it's a Yerusha, as the Gemara explained. He continues his father's sicha. So now the question is, when Rabbi Huda takes the opinion in our Gemara that since this person was not always a Zor, there is no, the din of using the Shemen HaMishcha doesn't apply to him, what would be the halacha by a Melech ben Melech who never had Sicha? On one hand we could say he certainly, even Rabbi Huda will agree is a Zor. On the other hand, we could suggest that since he's not completely separated, he's not completely out of the parasha of Sicha, he particularly didn't have Sicha because of his father, he, Rabbi Yehuda will agree, is not considered a Zor. And the same question would come up, explained the Mefarshim, as we discussed the other day. There are actually two ways of appointing a Kohen Gadol. One way of appointing a Kohen Gadol is by doing Sicha, doing Mashicha, but the other way we spoke about was about really the Gadol, that he just puts on all Shemayna Bigde Kahuna. What would be the halacha on a Kohen Gadol that didn't actually have Sicha himself, because he became Kohen Gadol through Ribi Begadim? What would be the halacha by him regarding this halacha? Is he considered a Zor or is he not considered a Zor? Says the Gemara, Amar Ikab Reder of Ami, Bazu Tamayu. This machlokes, Ramei Rabbi Huda, actually is the similar machlokes that we have the arguing elsewhere. That's not the Mishnah says. We know that the Torah says that if a person eats the truma of a kohen, if Yisrael eats the truma of a kohen, he has to pay a karen and a chodesh. The karen has to be paid because he ate something that belongs to someone else. The chaymish has to be paid as a fine for eating the kohen's truma. So, and then there's another halacha. The halacha is that a bas kohen tisecha liznoit, even though normally rachman slan, if a woman is mizana, her eshes ish is mizana, hamisa is chanek. The halacha is that a bas kohen's misa is sreifa. So the Brisa discusses a bas kohen shivikus liyisrael. You have a bas kohen that now married Yisrael, ba'achu v'truma, and she eats truma. So mishalamish is a kareva and mishalamish is a kohenish. Everybody agrees that such a girl, even though now she's married to Yisrael, and she obviously, because she's married to Yisrael, may not eat truma, she still is not considered a zar, and therefore only pays the keren and doesn't pay the chaymish, and certainly still considered a bas koyin, and rachman tzlon, she's mizana, misasa b'sreifa, she would be burned. However, nesis lechman apsulim, she marries a man that she wasn't allowed to marry. So mishalamish keren b'chaymish, she does now pay the chaymish, u'misasa b'chenek, and now she's treated like a bas Yisrael, whose misa is chenek, her misa is no longer sreifa like a bas koyin. Divrei Rameyer, that is the opinion of Rameyer. The opinion of Chachamim, achazu v'achazu, even the bas Yisrael, who married a person whom she should not marry, mishalemes karen v'edem mishalemes is a chaymish. She doesn't pay the chaymish, and misasa b'sreifa, and she still has sreifa. Even though she's now married to an individual that disqualifies her, she's still not considered a zar, because she isn't a zar mitchil of atzoif. And his opinion is that unless you're a zar mitchil of atzoif, as we've been explaining, you are not considered a zar. So Mefarshim asked, if we're going to take that line of reasoning, so then every Bas Yisrael, why is a regular Bas Yisrael considered a zar? Why can't we say that every Bas Yisrael has the potential to marry a Kohen, and when she's going to marry a Kohen, she will be allowed to eat truma? So why doesn't that take her out of the category of a zar? So the first thing to say, there's a fundamental difference. A zar, a Bas Yisrael is fundamentally a Bas Yisrael. She was born a Bas Yisrael. Yes, she could ultimately marry a Kohen, but she is fundamentally a zar. On the other hand, a Bas Kohen is fundamentally a Bas Kohen. So even though she married someone, and even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim, she married someone she shouldn't have, that doesn't change her status that she's fundamentally Bas Kohen. And with that, we can understand that the Meiri says that this entire discussion of our Gemara is only in a situation where we speak about a Bas Kohen that was a kosher Bas Kohen. But let's say there was a daughter of a Kohen married a woman that he wasn't supposed to, and they had a child, a girl, that girl, from the moment she was born, is a chalola. Everybody will agree, says the Meiri, that girl is a zar and does not have the din of a bas kohen. Says the Gemara, Amar Reb Yosef, Machlokes ben Asinus Shemen HaMishcha. The Machlokes that we had regarding the minimum amount is regarding the Shemen HaMishcha. Kudashniyah the Shaninim. As we explained, why Rameyer and Rabbi Yehuda have their opinion, why it's considered the shear of Nesina Shemen HaMishcha a kol shehu, because it's compared to Sicha, Rameyer's opinion, or is it a Kazayas, because it's compared to Nesina throughout Halacha. Ava Nesina the Alma, when we speak about Nesina and all other areas of Halacha, the Rehakol, everybody will agree that the shear is a Kazayas. Gufa, continues the Gemara, we learned in the previous shir that any person, were he to take the Shemen HaMishcha and put it on himself or put it on someone else, he would be chayif for the Aveira of Sach the Shemen HaMishcha. Yesh the Babai Yisach, there is an Aveira if the Shemen HaMishcha is put on him. But any individual who will not be violating an Aveira if he puts the Shemen HaMishcha on himself and someone else. The best example that we learned in the previous year would be a Akum, Einav Bal Yisach. Then he doesn't have the halacha either of if somebody put oil on him, they were Oivet Aveira. Amalei, to which he said, Shapa Kamrit, your point is an excellent point. And he said, I'll prove it to you. Because if we look in the Torah, when the Torah speaks about this Isser, the Torah says, Lo Yisach Ksiv. Lo Yisach is spelled with two yuds at the beginning of the world. And the question is, why the two words, two yuds at the beginning of the world? Word. The Torah could have said it with just one yud. And the point of the pasuk is to teach us, Layasich says, the Karibe Layasich. It says, Karibe Layasich, we put the extra yud from the beginning of the word into the middle of the word to teach us only somebody who may not put the oil on himself or on someone else may not be put the oil on him either. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Reb Chananya Kamei de Ravo. Menayim Kohen Gadol. Shenot Meshemen HaMishka Shal Roishoy. How do we know that the Kohen Gadol took the Shemen Mishka, which is on his head, V'nosna Pnei Me'ayov, and then he puts that oil and he puts it on his body, Menayim Shu Chayiv. How do we know that he's Chayiv? And says the Gemara, Shenemar Absar Odom LaYisach. So all the Mefarshim ask that we just learned in our previous year, the Rishonim asked this question, we just learned in our previous year, Ein Lecha Dovish Nasis Mitzvosoy Omeyalimba, that once the mitzvah has been fulfilled, there's no more Me'ila. So here, once the oil has been put on the head of the Kayin, so why is there Me'ila? There should no longer be any Me'ila once it's put on his head. So the Mefarshim answered, the Rishonim answered, that as long as the oil is not absorbed in the body of the Kayin, the halacha is that he's still not finished the mitzvah of Mashiach. And since he's not yet finished the mitzvah of Mashiach, then he's still a candidate, therefore he's still a candidate for the Isser of using the Shemen HaMishka. The Mefarshim ask, so we learned the Gemara the other day that Aaron HaKoyin was concerned about the drops of oil that remained on his beard after he had Sicha with the Shemen HaMishka. So Mefarshim asked, and the Gemara said that there was no reason for him to be concerned because once the oil is put on his head, there is no issue of Me'ila. But according to our Gemara, that we're learning now, the Gemara is specifically telling us that yes, that the oil is still subject to Me'ila even after it was put on the Kohen's head. So, how do we understand this Gemara? So there are a number of Tirutzim that I saw in the Mefarshim. One Tirutz is that our Gemara that's saying that doing something like this is also is only speaking about a situation where one did it deliberately. He has some oil left on his head, and he takes that oil and he smears it on his body. That is considered Me'ila. But a person like Aaron, where the oil just dripped on his beard and he didn't do that deliberately, certainly would not be considered a Me'ila. Other Mefarshim say that there's a difference between the Sicha of Aaron, HaKohen HaGadol, that the Torah specifically gave Moshe Rabbeinu instructions to do Sicha on Aaron, versus everyone else. Another pshat is that the Gemara is being specific only on the Sicha, on taking the oil from the head of the Kohen and then putting it on his body. But the story that we discussed then with Aaron was the oil being on his beard. On that oil, the halacha of our Gemara doesn't apply. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Akibrei the Rav Ravashi, Ma'adatanya, why is this any different from what we learned in a Braisa? That the Braisa says, Kohen shesach b'shemen shel truma, that the Kohen smeared himself with the shemen of truma, ben bet the Yisrael mis'agaboy ben achayshish, that Yisrael, if he has a grandson of Yisrael, that grandson could, so to speak, rub himself against the Kohen and enjoy that shemen of truma, which a Yisrael obviously may not use. Why is there no Isser? And all the Rishonim point out that there's a sort of a fundamental difficulty with this question, because the halacha that you're not allowed to use Shemen HaMishka after it was used by the Kohen is only a din derabbanan, and the halacha that we began with of the Shemen HaMishka that was on the head of the Kohen Gadol is a halacha deraisa of Me'ila. So what's the Gemara comparing it? So the Mefarshim answer that we have a rule, the Kol HaTikun Rabbanan came the Reis HaTikun. And since Kol HaTikun Rabbanan came the Reis HaTikun, if the Rabbanan said that by the Shemen Truma, this doesn't represent the problem. It obviously doesn't represent the problem by Shemen HaMishka either. Amalei, Hasam, there Umeisibak Yichal Luksiv. The Torah says by the Truma, if somebody profanes the Truma, his Chayim Misib De Shemayim. Kiva Dechal Olei Yoeschel. But once he used it on his body, it loses that Kedusha, and once it loses that Kedusha, there is no longer a problem. Avagab Shemen Mishka, Ksiv Kinez Shemen Mishka Zalkov Olof, Shemen Mishka Kariya Rechmana, it retains the name of Shemen HaMishka, and therefore the Avagab Deisa Olof, and even though it was already put on the Kohen's head, Lo Yaskel, it still retains that Kedusha. And based on this Gemara, the Mechitz Chinuch discusses, is the halacha that our Gemara is discussing, that if the Shemen HaMishka is on the Kohen's head, it's still subject to Hilchas Me'ilah, is that a rule stated strictly on the head of the Kohen Gadol, or is it the same by a Melech? Because he wants to make a distinction that a Kohen, that the Mashiach of a Kohen Gadol accomplishes something very different than the Mashiach of a Melech. The Mashiach of the Kohen Gadol is what makes him into a Kohen Gadol. Whereas the Mashiach of a Melech, the Melech is not made into a Melech through the Mashiach. What the Mashiach represents by a Melech is that he is the Melech, and that's how we're showing he's the Melech, and therefore the oil, once it's put on his head, no longer has that Kedusha, because it doesn't make a Kedusha. So it's a totally different situation. Furthermore, the Mefarshim debate, our Gemara is speaking about a case where the Shemen was put properly on the head of a Kohen. What would the halacha be if the Shemen was put on an animal or was put on a dead person? That we learned at the beginning of the Shir, and we learned it in yesterday's Shir as well, that is not considered that one misused. There won't be a chiv of using the oil improperly because it wasn't al gabei Adam. But what will that accomplish? In other words, let's understand the question that the Achronim are discussing. Certainly, if somebody put the Shemen HaMishka on one person, and after putting the Shemen HaMishka on a person that wasn't supposed to have the Shemen HaMishka, and a terrible Aveira, a Chiv Karus, was violated, afterwards that Shemen HaMishka was put on a second person, everybody would agree that would not represent the Aveira. Because it was certainly, as the Gemara just suggested, already profaned. The question will be, in a situation where it was put on a nes, or on a behemoth, which, as we're learning in our Shia today, doesn't represent an Aveira. It doesn't represent an Aveira, and therefore nothing happened to that Shemen HaMishka. And now if the Shemen HaMishka will be further put on a person, that will be considered a misuse of the Shemen HaMishka, or is the fact that it was put on a melech, or put on a mace, or a behema, or an akum, enough to take it away from being a Shemen HaMishka. So we learned in the Mishnah, Eloch, Hayavim, Al-Zadayim, Hikaris. We learned, the Mishnah gave us the list, and the Mishnah taught us, for all of these, is a Chiyiv Karis, B'mezid, a Chiyiv Chatos, B'shoyig, and Oshim Tolui, when there is a Sofik. Says the Gemara, K'tani, Chutz Metamim, Midish, V'kadoshov. But the Mishnah ended with the words, except in the situation of Tumas Midas Yikdashev. Says the Gemara, B'may Mapikle, what does the Mishnah try to mean when it's saying Chutz Mi Shemen HaMishka with Tumas Shemen Midas Yikdashev? Says the Gemara Hachiktani. But certainly there's a Chi of Karis by Tumas Midas Yikdashev. Says the Gemara, this is what the Mishnah meant to say. Chutz Mi Tumas Midas Yikdashev, Shene Mei V'ashim Toli. Somebody's Matan Mitzvah Kedoshov doesn't bring in Ashim Tali. Says the Gemara, because the din of Ashim Tali was only said when there's a Chiyiv Chatas. Tumas Mitzvah Kedoshov carries with it a Chiyiv of carbon oil of the Yairid, and since it carries with it a Chiyiv of carbon oil of the Yairid, there is no Ashim Tali. Ask the Gemara, if our Mishnah is mentioning the exceptions where there is no Chiyiv Ashim Tali, then there's another case that the Mishnah should have mentioned another case. Let's say somebody had a shaylan, Sofik, if he did an Aveira, and he didn't bring the Ashim Tolui, and then Yom Kippur passes, then he doesn't bring an Ashim Tolui, because Yom Kippur takes care of that Aveira. So why didn't the Mishnah mention that as well? And since the din of Yom Kippur is mentioned in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah should have said that by Yom Kippur as well, there's no din of Ashim Tolui. Answered the Gemara, Amar Reish Lakish, Kiktani, Heich the Isil Lachatis, Rachmana Patri. Where does the Mishnah have to teach us this halacha? Where a person did an Aveira, and there the Torah says that even though he might have done an Aveira, he doesn't bring a Korban. Avu of Yom Kippurim, what Yom Kippur accomplishes is Leisil Chattis, that there is no Aveira altogether. Why? Because Kippur Leis. It's not that there is no Chiv Oshin Tali. There's no longer an Aveira, because Yom Kippur takes away the Aveira. Rav Yochanan Amar, Rav Yochanan gives a different reason why Yom Kippur is not a case that's mentioned where there is no Shem Tolui. Because there will be a case by that even though Yom Kippur passed, that he would still have to bring Shem Tolui. It refers to somebody b'mevad, somebody who rejects Yom Kippur. The Tani, Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper, by saying that Yom Kippur has no power, that person doesn't believe in the power of Yom Kippur, and since he doesn't believe in the power of Yom Kippur doesn't work for him. The Hadabe Bas Yom Kippur, such an individual, if after Yom Kippur he does tshuva, he, says the Gemara Boi L'Suy Ashim Tali, would have to bring an Ashim Tali. Reshlaki says, Mevad, even an individual who rejects the power of Yom Kippur, still Nam Mechapel Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur works for him. And actually says this Gemara is based on a machloikis. Hoima lo yischapli chatosim. Somebody who brings a carbon and says that it should not work. Abaye on an emchaperis. Abaye says it doesn't have any power. And Rabba says it does mechaper, that it does have a power. And as the Mefarshim explained, even though we learned that Koifanoi Soi Achiyoy Meroitzani, that, and we always quote the opinion of the Rambam, that the Rambam says that really every Jew wants to do what's right, it's just that the Yetzer Hara gets in the way, and therefore there's an ability of Koifanoi Soi Achiyoy Meroitzani, say the Mefarshim, that you have to go through that procedure of the person saying Roitzani. But in a situation where the person is not ready to say Roitzani, and he says that the kapara shouldn't work, it indeed wouldn't work. There's a very interesting psak from the Marsham based on this Gemara. The Marsham says, from here we see that a person who's a mumer to one mumer davar echad is a mumer to one thing, is not a mumer kol ha'Torah kula. Because here we know that a person who's a mumer, we don't accept kabbonis from him. So this person is certainly a mumer, because the person saying leischapli chatosi, yet Rabbi says mechaperis. How could it work if he's a mumer? From here we see that just because he's a mumer l'davar echad, that he's a mumer to one situation, doesn't mean he's a mumer l'chol hatayra kula. Further says the Gemara, heichadam aloy sikriv, if he specifically says that this carbon should not be brought, the kulam loy pligid loy mechaperis, it wouldn't work. The ksiv, yakrav oysol ritzonam. Ki pligid oma tikrav loy sechaper. The carbon should be brought, but it shouldn't affect the kapara. Abay oma ina chaperis, oma loy sechaper. He's specifically saying, I don't want it to have any effect. Rav oma mechaperis, ki un oma tikrav, since he used the word tikrav, kapara memelasi, we don't need his agreement. However, says the Marva Hadabe Rava, Rava ultimately changed his mind. So the Mefarshim make an interesting observation. The reason, as we're going to learn right now, that Rav, the Gemara says the Rava changed his mind, is because we have a Braisa that says differently. So the Mefarshim ask, normally when an Amayra says an opinion, and then we have a Braisa saying differently, says the Gemara to Yufta, that opinion is refuted. Here the Gemara doesn't say to Yufta. Here the Gemara says Hadabe Rava. The Rava retracted. When does the Gemara use the word Hadabe that he retracted? And when does the Gemara use to Yufta? Mefarshim explained. Typically the Gemara will use the word to Yufta, that it's refuted. But over here we find, as the Gemara will soon show us, that Rava himself explains this brisa. So it's obvious that Rava, when he became aware of this brisa, changed his mind. The Gemara will explain what shavim v'shein and shavim means. The dinu, and we can make the following argument: just like we find that a carbon chatas and a carbon osham have the binyan to have the ability to mechaper, and we know Yom Kippur is mechaper. Ma'al chatas for osham ain't mechaper el al shavim. Yom Kippur chatas and Yom Kippur only work on somebody who does tshuva. Only on such condition could the carbon be effective. After Yom Kippurim, ain't a mechaper el al shavim. So too should we say regarding Yom Kippur, loy. To this we say, im amat bechatas for osham. The chatas on Hashem are only on a shoydi. And Rashi points out immediately that that isn't exactly true. A chatas, indeed, as we learned in the Mishnah, comes for a shoydi, but a Hashem comes for a mezer as well. Time of Yom Kippurim, whereby when we speak about Yom Kippur, shemachaper ala mezer v'shoydi, that Yom Kippur works both for mezer and v'shoydi. For hoyl, a machaper ala mezer k'shoydi, since we see that Yom Kippur could affect kapara, both if somebody did an aver b'mezer or he did a b'shagi, that's why mechaper al sham ve'en sham. Tamaloymer, to not say this, tamaloymer, the pasuk says, ach cholot, to teach us that Yom Kippur only works for shavim. So now the Gemara immediately asks, my shavim, my en shavim. What is meant when the Brice uses the words shavim ve'en shavim? Elaim is shavim, that shavim means that somebody who did the aveir b'shoyig, and loy shavim means somebody who did the aveir b'mezid. Hoktani, let's understand it. The brayse then made a distinction. Imat b'chatas for osham that work only for shoyig and not for mezid. Now, if we're saying that Yom Kippur is also shoyig and mezid, so the brayse is just repeating itself. So that can be shavim and inu shavim should mean the same as shoyig and mezid. Says the Gemara, the explanation of the Braisa is Kihada Allah Umar Vyochan. Acha Chaywif. If somebody ate Chaywif, the Hifrish carbon, and then afterwards he separated a carbon for the Avera that he did. The Hemedasa. And then afterwards he abandoned our religion. And the Marai Masada said it's specifically somebody who is Hemedasa. He abandoned the religion. That's when, as we're about to learn, his carbon becomes disqualified. He becomes dachli, the chazbai, even though he did tshuva, hoil the nitcha, since the animal became rejected, because a person who's a mumer can't bring a carbon. So Rabbi Yochanan's opinion throughout Shas is balachayim nidachim, and the animal designated for a carbon, if it becomes rejected, it remains permanently rejected. But as I was saying, the Barami says that's only a person who is Hemedasa, who abandoned our religion. But if it's an individual who didn't abandon the religion, he just continued eating chaylev, that wouldn't reject his carbon. So what do we see from here? That the chatas and osham affect kapara only for somebody who does tshuva, it must mean somebody who remained not a mumer. And similarly, when the Braisa says that Yom Kippur brings kapara only for people who are shavim, it means somebody who abandoned Yadus, our religion, before Yom Kippur, and didn't come back till afterwards, such an individual Yom Kippur will not work for. Ask the Gemara, nay, ditri carbon. Yes, we could say that if somebody designated a carbon and then he was a mumer, he became a mumer, the carbon becomes rejected. But gavra b'kaparahu, the person is still connected to us, and therefore, since he's still connected, he should be able, Yom Kippur should be effective for him. And they bring the gevaldik raya, because even this person who became a mumer, if after he comes back and becomes a baal tshuva, he's certainly going to have to bring carbon. Ella, says the Gemara, this is the way to understand the braisa. Bein the amir yichapa chatasi. Whether somebody says, my chatas should work for me, Shein shavim. That shavim means yom echap aleichatasi. Shein shavim dam loyte echap aleichatasi. My chata should not work from here. Shema minah from here. We see that the brayso rova changed his mind that the chatas even works for somebody who doesn't want to have kapara. And the Gemara is saying that Yom Kippur perhaps should have that distinction, but not karbanos. Ask the Gemara, Rimini, but so here we said, the Braisa said, that Yom Kippur only works for Shavim, not for Enish Shavim. But there's another Braisa, Yochla Yikipur Mechaper, El Elishas Anabal. Yom Kippur should only be effective for somebody who fasted on it, on Yom Kippur. V'loyasbah Melochan didn't do any Melocha. V'kar Mikra Kodesh. Macholikus V'shoinim, what does Mikra Kodesh mean? Rashi says, Mikra Kodesh means that he davened Yom Kippur Diga davening. Tosfos says, Mikra Kodesh means that he dressed and acted appropriately towards Yom Kippur. The Ramban says that it means someone who attended shul on Yom Kippur. Loi Nisanaba, but if somebody didn't fast on Yom Kippur, V'lasba Malachan, he did work Rachmanis on Yom Kippur, V'loi Kar Mikra Kodesh, Yochel Lo Yeh Yom Kippur Mechaper, maybe Yom Kippur shouldn't work. Kamaloyma, Yom Kippurim Hu, Yikamaka. It always works. Now ask the Gemara, Vitam Tavayus Dam Sifra Hu. Both the Brises are Sifra without any Tana attributed to them. And we know, we've mentioned, that when we have a Sifra without the name of a Tana attached to it, it represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So here we have a Kasha Adadi. Does Yom Kippur work for everybody, or does it not? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye Loi Kasha. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbi. So Bachlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi. And as the Mefarshim explained, even though normally, as we just said, all the Sifra represent the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, here where we clearly have a Machlokes, it can't be that we say everything represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because there's obviously a contradiction. Another pshat is that the two brises represent a machloikis, what was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Kol Averus Shabbataira, Ben Asa Tshuva, Ben Lo Asa Tshuva, Yom Kippurim B'chaper. Yom Kippur works for all Averus, Chutz, be Pyrrhic oil, except for somebody who is a Pyrrhic oil. Rashi explains that a Pyrrhic oil means that he doesn't accept, he throws off all of the commandments, he doesn't believe in any of the mitzvahs. Umagal upon him the Torah, who speaks disrespectfully about the Torah, or others say that he explains the Torah improperly. Umefa brisposer, a person who's a mefa brisposer means machloikas, either means that he didn't make a milah, or he made a milah, but he then did different action to cover up the makam amilah. The two pshatim and mefa brisposer probably are connected to machloikas Rambam and Ravid that we discussed the other day. According to Rambam, one is not chiev kares for not having a bris until he dies. So just by not having a milah, he's not a mefa bris basar. It must be, according to Rambam, that he had a milah and then he attempts to cover it up. Whereas according to the Ravid, every day that you didn't have a bris, you have a chiev kares. So therefore, according to the Ravid, mefa bris basar can mean somebody who just didn't have a bris. The Maral explains why these Averis are stricter, because these Averis represent the special band that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore somebody who doesn't believe in that special relationship, even Rebbe will agree that Yom Kippur doesn't work. Shem Asa Tshuva Yom Kippur Mechaper Bim Av En Yom Kippur Mechaper. So Rebbe obviously is of the opinion that Yom Kippur is effective even if a person didn't do tshuva. So Mefarshim asks, what does that mean? So if Yom Kippur is so powerful for everybody, how will a person, when is a person ever considered that he did an Aveira? And in fact, the Chafetz Chaim says that the only time a person will have an Einish is if he did the Aveira before the next Yom Kippur came, according to the Rebbe. But others say that even Rebbe agrees that we're not speaking about a person who's a habitual Oiver Aveira, because a person who's a habitual Oiver Aveira certainly Yom Kippur can't help, even according to Rebbe. And furthermore, Rabbeinu Yonah explains that even if Rebbe says that Yom Kippur has this power to help even for somebody who didn't do tshuva, Rebbe will agree that the special concept that we say, Lefnei Hashem Tataru, that Yom Kippur purifies us, that isn't by a person who didn't in any way observe Yom Kippur. Rav Amar. So, the second b'risa goes according to Rebbe. Another way of reconciling two b'risas says Rava, Havaha, Rebbe. Both b'risas represent the opinion of Rebbe. May the Rebbe b'averis Yom Kippurim Gufa, that if somebody violated Yom Kippur itself, Loi M'chapa, Yom Kippur doesn't have the ability to bring a kapara. Dilai Taima, Hachi, if you're not going to say this, Karas Yom Kippurim, Rebbe, we learned in our Mishnah that if somebody violates Yom Kippur, he's Chayiv Karas. How could he ever be Chayiv Karis? Kim in the Kol Shata V'Shata Mechaper, if every moment of Yom Kippur brings a Kapara, Hech Mishkachzlo. So when will he ever get Karis for violating Yom Kippur? It must be that even Rebbe agrees that for Yom Kippur Averis, for violating Yom Kippur, that you have you have to do tshuva for. Or my Kasha. Says the Gemara, why is that a question? Dim with the Ovid Avidita Kulalayla, he did the Averis, he did Malach all night of Yom Kippur, over Havi and Moshe Shachamis, and then when Yom Kippur in the morning came, he passed away. What is Mechaper? The Yom of Yom Kippur is Mechaper. Here, he didn't have the Yom of Yom Kippur because he violated Yom Kippur at night, but even though he violated Yom Kippur at night, the Yoim is what brings the kapara, and the Yoim didn't, he died before Yoim began. Says the Gemara, so fine, Tanach Karas Delilah. We could find a case where somebody will be Chayiv Karas for violating Yom Kippur at night. However, asked the Gemara, according to this explanation, Karas the Imam Hechem Shkach Slo. Says the Gemara, my Kusha. Dilma Bahadi the Ka'achal Na'ama, while he was eating bread, he was eating bread and meat, and he choked on the meat. Even if we say every moment of Yom Kippur is Mechaper, it's only Mechaper the moment after you did the Avera, not the moment that you're doing the Avera, and he did not survive to the next moment. Inami, he did Meloch in the last moment of Yom Kippur. Inami, as he was working on Yom Kippur, Paski Maru L'Shake Yomais, he broke his leg and he died. Again, he had no moment to have a kapara. We learned in the Mishnah, Acha Megadis. If also a Megadis is not Chayiv, Chatis, my Acha Megadis, said the Gemara, Rabbanah Shamel Eile Rekiva, Rabbanah heard the Rekiva hold the Tani Baal Oiv, that he only mentioned about Oiv, Velo Yedeni, and obviously it is the opinion of Yedoni is not Chayiv Chatis, because as we discussed the other day, it's a Lav Shamei Maisa. Amalei, so they said to Rabbi Kiva, Maishna Dole Maisa Karbin. Why is such a person not bringing a Karbin? Should less be Maisa. The God of Nami, less be Maisa, doesn't have a Maisa. Tanabon. The God of maybe Karbin, and the God of, according to Rabbi Kiva, brings a Karbin. Hoyle, the name by Karis. Since the Torah says that it's Chayiv Karis, Dimrei, Rabbi Kiva, V'Oimer, and it says, regarding somebody who didn't bring a Karan Pesach, Chetoy Yeso. So just like there it says Chetoy Yeso, here too. Says the Gemara. Is that true? The Kol Hech Diksibe Karis, Naisi Karbin, that whoever has a Chiv Karis brings a Karbin. For Pesach Hamil that we learned in our Mishnah, Diksibe Karis, we know that a Chiv Karis, for like Naisi Karbin, they yet don't bring Karbin. So if anything, the Raya from Pesach is a difficult Raya. So the Mahakam, this is the way to understand. The Gadav may be carbon. A Megadav brings a carbon. Hoyle, the name of a Karis are mocking carbon. In the same parasha where the Torah says the Chiv Karis, the Torah speaks about the carbon. Divra Rabbi Kiva. Because of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion. Rabbi Kiva is obviously the opinion. Migui, the boy Mechav Karis Ba'alma. The Torah could have written the Chiv Karis of a Megadav elsewhere. The Ksiv Karis are mocking carbon. Shmami no. Maisi carbon. And now the Gemara continues explaining the Braisa. Then the Braisa quotes the pasuk of Chet Yisoy. Says the Gemara, the Braisa is attempting to explain the opinion of the Rabbon. Bachkam Yokiv Rabbanan. The Kiva said to Rabbanan, Amrita Megadav Les B'Maisa, you hold the Megadav Les B'Maisa and there's no Chiv Chatis, Ma Megadav, what is the definition of Megadav? Mevarach Hashem. As so Rabbi Kiva said to him, El Karas Diksiv L'Mayasa, why did the Torah teach us in the same parasha of writing Karas and Karbin? And it says the Gemara, Amrlei, the Rabbanan say, Litn Karas L'Makalol. Torah is trying to teach us that the chiv chorus if somebody has to show him curses Hashem, the ksiv b'makalu v'nosa chatoi. The ksiv b'tesa chato yisoi, ma'alahan chorus afkan chorus. In other words, what the Rabbanah is saying to Rabbi Kiva, even though the Torah mentioned the din of chorus together with the din of carbon, that doesn't mean that they travel together. Just like by Pesach, this is what Tosfos explains to Gemara, just like by Pesach, they don't travel together. Here too, they do not travel together. Tana Rabbanan, as Hashem will megadif, Isa ben Yehuda Imek, Adam Amar Mel Chaveroi, Geraftoi Karo, you emptied out the plate, V'chisarta, and you diminished it. His definition of megadif means Mevarach Hashem. Somebody who Rachman Slan of Mevarach Hashem, is, this way Rashi explains the Gemara, is considered a much more significant sin. Is if he takes away the chisarta, he takes away from Hashem. Because Kesavah, megadif, Mevarach Hashem. You emptied the plate, but you didn't diminish it, because he holds that Megadif is Avodah Zarah. Tanya Idach as Hashem, who Megadif, the Lord Ben Azariah Oymer, Be'ovid Avodah Zarah, Kos Medaber, V'cham Oymer Le'boah Kosav, Eitan L'kod, Mevarach Hashem, that the Pasuk is speaking about Mevarach Hashem. The halacha is, since, and the Mefarshim claim that our Mishnah is now going to be speaking about Chiyuv Chatos, because as we explained from the beginning of the Masechta, the purpose of our Masechta is to teach us Karban Chatos, so our Mishnah teaches us the Halach of Karban Chatos. Yet we know that a woman, after she has a baby, has to bring two Karbanos of a bird, a Chatos and an Oif. Says the Mishnah, Yesh Karban, Mevi'ez Karban V'Nechel, sometimes they bring a Karban and that Karban could even be eaten. Yesh Mevi'ez Karban V'Nechel, sometimes she brings a carbon, but it may not be eaten. V'yeshen reviyas, and sometimes a carbon isn't brought altogether. And the Mishnah explains, Eil reviyas carbon v'nechol, this woman brings a carbon and it's eaten. And mapels kamen behem achai v'oif. Even if she miscarried a child that looks like behem achai v'oif, she brings a carbon chatos, divrei meir. V'cham achei b'tzuris adam, it has to look like a human being. Hamapel a sandal, if somebody aborts a sandal that completely disfigured, or show you, or just an afterbirth, or shir merupim, a developed embryo, or a fetus that came out in pieces, came shifcha shipila, or a shifcha that miscarried, they have a full-fledged chiyuv, they bring a carbon, they bring a carbon, the nechel, and that carbon is even eaten. They bring a carbon, but it can't be eaten. Hamapelis when you do my pila, she's not quite certain what she aborted. V'shtein noshen shepilu, two women aborted. Achsim in part, the one aborted a fetus that is normally parted from a carbon. V'achsim in chayv, one aborted somebody that's normally chayv. Amar Rabbi Yosi, emesai, v'zman she'ochuzel mizuch v'zel marav. That these two women aren't here together. And Mar will explain this. I'm shtein undus, if they're both here together, shtein avi and kabar v'nachal, they can bring a carbon and eat it. Because as we're going to learn, there's a question of bringing a carbon chatas ha'if if you're not obligated to bring it. Here, they can do it with a tanai. El shem v'yis, these women don't have to bring a carbon altogether. I'm a pil shvir molim mayim, she aborts an embryo full of water, molidam full of blood, molignanim different colored matter. Hamelz kipin dagim chagov mishratz mishmatzim. I'm pil shem arboim if she miscarried before 40 days after conception, the yotzadayfin, or if she had a child through cesarean section, shimchai the yotzadayfin. Asking my shifcha menolam, from where do we know that a shifcha has a chiv to bring the kabbonis? The Tanar Rabbanan, b'nei Yisrael, the pasuk says regarding the parish of the Yilavis, b'nei Yisrael, only ala b'nei Yisrael, so we know that this halach applies to b'nei Yisrael, to yoresh the shifcha menayim, tamaloyim isha, mai became the shifcha. Obviously, a shifcha is mechuyev in all mitzvahs. Answers the Gemara Sakadat the Kamina. came in comments to Shechayev's by Eved Chayiba that the din of Shevch Kananis and Eved Kanani travel together. And therefore, Hayin Mili B'Dovah Shebein Isha Bein Isha that applies to a male and a female. Avi Yoledis, when we speak about Yoledis, to B'Noshim Isa, B'Noshim Lesa, there is no such thing as a man being a Yoledis. So maybe Eimelot like Eschayiv Isha, the din of Yoledis doesn't apply by Shevch Kananis, a Hochitani Shevch. Eilam Avi and Karbin, the Mishnah said that the following people bring a carbon but can't eat it. And Yossi said, where one woman had a baby that has a chiv carbon, and one woman has a baby that doesn't have a chiv carbon, so they bring but not eat. And Rabbi Yossi said that if they're together, they could bring it together. My Abdin, what does Rabbi Yossi say? My stavai chad carbon vaday, they should bring together one carbon. Each one should bring an oilo, because by an oilo, let's just stop for a moment and review. The halacha is that a yoledes has to bring an oila and a chatas. So an oila, the halacha is if you're not mechuyev to bring a carbon oila, you can bring it as an adava. So the woman who has a question if she's mechuyev the carbon oila or not should make it tonight. If I'm mechuyev, fine. If not, it should be an adava. By a chatas that's eaten by the kahanim, we have a problem because we know that the way a chatas is brought. The way an oif is offered, it's offered with malika. And malika is an avela unless it's obligated. So normally, a woman who doesn't know what her status is can only bring the chatas oif, but not actually eat it. The kayana couldn't eat it. And there's no problem of chulun ba'azara, because we're only talking about the dam. And by dam, there's no chulun ba'azara, the Rishonim explain. So, but here, they can make it tonight. They make it tonight. We bring one chatas oif, and they say whoever is obligated in the chatas, that's who is bringing this chatas. Ask the Gemara, Omi is the Rabbi Yehuda Tana, the Rabbi Yehuda accept Tanaim, but Tanaim Shimon Omer, Vinch, where two people aren't certain if they ate chelos, the Shimon Omer Vinch Naim Chatas Achas, they should bring one chatas, Rabbi Yosef Vinch Naim Chatas Achas, Amor Rabbi Yosef less the Tanaim, so obviously Rabbi Yosef doesn't agree to Tanaim, Amor Rava, Maid Rabbi Yosef Mechusa Kapara. Here, the carbon isn't being brought because somebody did an aveira. It's only being brought in order to be able to kachshim and enter the base of Mikdash. And that, then Rabbi Yossi agrees that tonight can be made. The Kenki also Robin, Amr Rabbi Yochan, Maid Rabbi Yossi Mechus Kapara, my Tama, Hassan by Gavi Idiya. By a chatas which is brought for an aveira, a person has to recognize he did an aveira. The Ksiv, as the Torah says, I hide the love katasai. Hilkach, my master and maestni. You can't bring it unless you're certain. Abu Hocha, Kimasi Noshim carbon, when a woman brings a carbon, Lishdrui Bechil's Kotchim, the entire purpose is that she should be able to eat Kotchim or enter the base of Migdash. Ketanya Seifdai, he, as indeed is taught in that Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kel Chatis, Shabala Chait, if the Chatis comes because of an Aveira, Einstein Mavirim's Oisai. Elishayim Mavirim's, and the Mishnah doesn't mention when a carbon is certainly not obligated, Rabbi Yishim Mechai Beyotze Doisim. Shimon said that a Caesarean is Chayiv. My time of Shimon, Omer Shlokas, Omer Kra, Vim the cave is salid. The rabbis lay the achayis. That there's a chiyiv carbon by a different type of leida. Mahi yotze doifin. The rabbanim that hold a yotze doifin doesn't bring a carbon. Rabbanim my tama. Amar Rabbani ben Patish ishi ki sezri v'yolda. Achet keil v'makom shezraz. Only if it comes out from where she conceived. So just to quickly review, the halacha is that when I always emphasize that this is the din midaraisa. When a woman has a boy, she's tamei no matter what for 7 days, and then she's tar no matter what for 33 days, and that's 40 days in total, and on the 41st day she brings a carbon. When a woman has a girl, she's tamei no matter what for 14 days, and then she's tar no matter what for 66 days, and then she brings a carbon. Says the Mishnah, if a woman miscarries on the 81st day after she had a girl, Beshem parchment a carbon. Beshem says she doesn't have to bring another carbon. Beshem mechayim. Beshem says she does. On Beshem Beshamai. Maishna or shmanu vechad. Miyan shmanu vechad. Why is there a difference between the night of the 81st day and the 81st day itself? If shavalo tumah, if on the night of the 81st day the woman could become tumah if she sees dam la yishvah el carbon, so she should have a new chiv carbon if she has a miscarriage that night. Amon Beshem eloy. In matam hel shem shmanu vechad. On day 81, she can yotz l'shar she ruil ali b'carbon. She now has a time when she could have brought a carbon, because once the 81st day comes, she to bring a carbon, and therefore if she miscarries on that day, she has to bring a separate carbon. Tarim apels for Arish Man Vechot. Shloyot v'shar, she ruined Lagi by carbon, because as we know, we can't bring carbonus at night. Arim Beis Hillel. V'layim apels for Yom Shman Vechot, Shchalis b'Shabbos. And what would be if the 81st day was in Shabbos? Shloyot v'shar, she ruined Lagi by carbon. We know carbonus can't be brought in Shabbos. And yet, you too say, Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai, agree that if she miscarried on day 81, she's chayiv a carbon. Arim Beis Shammai loy. In a map, Yom Shman Vechot, Shchalis b'Shabbos. If day 81 is in Shabbos, Shabbos and royal carbon yochid, she can't bring the carbon yoledes, which is a carbon yochid that can't be brought on Shabbos, royal carbon tzibur. Shabbos is a day where carbonus could be brought, not a carbon yochid, but a carbon tzibur. Tanim apel for shemayim v'echod on the night, shayat laila royal carbon yochid, royal carbon tzibur. No carbon can ever be brought at night. The domin enim chichem. Beis Shammai continues saying to Beis Hillel that you said that if she became tamei on the night of the 81st day, she's tamei. So isn't that a raya that she should also have a separate chiv carbon? Because the halacha is pelus matoich alois. If a woman miscarries during this day period of 66 days, the halacha is the tameim. She will be considered tamei, but yet she turn in a carbon. As we're going to learn in a further mishnah, she doesn't have to bring another carbon.